Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to yet another show. Sign Guy with you here on a Friday like usual. Really quick before we jump in with our great guest today, some show notes. If you are looking for some pro wrestling tonight, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena, MVW in Fayetteville, North Carolina, the Ascended Wrestling and Sci-Fi Show in Vancouver, Washington, 3-2-1 Battle in Seattle, Washington, up in our neck of the woods, EWF in Covina, California, Hood Slam in Oakland, California, NCW in Cornelia, Georgia, MWA in Ogden, Kansas, and HWA having a reunion show tonight in Cincinnati, Ohio. Tomorrow night, both Emerge and Hoosier Pro Wrestling in Columbus, Indiana. MVW back tomorrow in Gibsonville, North Carolina. RCCW in Hazel Green, Alabama. OCCW in Midway, California. NWWA in Portland, Oregon. ICW in Marion, Indiana. Punk Pro Wrestling, which is Trip Cassidy's new thing in Indianapolis at the Outlaw Arena tomorrow night. SCW in Dubuque, Iowa. EPW in Boonville, Mississippi. IPW in Spokane, Washington. WVCW in Bluefield, West Virginia. TASW in Houston, Texas. RSWF in Memphis, Tennessee. The AIWF in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as well as Munford, Alabama. And Price of Glory Wrestling in Coldwater, Michigan tomorrow night. Lots and lots and lots of shows out there this week, so make sure you get out there, support your local independents. And without further ado, I would like to bring our guest on, one of the very best in our half of the country, Andrea the Giant. Thank you for taking time today to be with us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, since today's your first time with us on the show, incredibly enough, we'll give you the first-timer's question to start. What led to you getting into this business of pro wrestling?
Gee, that goes all the way back to my grandmother. My grandmother, when she was babysitting me as a little tot, basically put me in front of the TV and we watched some professional wrestling, and then I heard stories from her of her going down to the auditorium and watching it live. So I had some initial interest at a very early age. Now we'll fast forward many years, and then we'll get to a point where I have my daughter who's expressing interest after watching WWE of like, hey, I like to get into wrestling. So with that, I kind of went out to the fledgling internet at the time and tried to find what's available. I couldn't find anything for the life of me. We had one or two local shows. There was nothing really going on there. Couldn't get a hold of the promoters. They were out of town. Somebody else was standing by doing the shows those evenings. So we'll go forward a couple more years, and then I'm doing roller derby in the Carolinas, and we did a cross promotion with Ring Wars Carolina. And if anybody has been to an independent wrestling show, you will just notice that sometimes, and I repeat sometimes, they go and wait just a few minutes past the normal starting time of the show, or at least the advertised starting time of the show, for a few more seats to be filled. And it was in that time period where the roller girls got out into the ring and did a little promotional thing, and we did our bit for a couple of minutes, and I'm in the ring for the first time and kind of bouncing around in there going, hey, this is kind of cool, and having all these flashbacks and such from my grandmother and so forth. And wouldn't you know, the show ran, I should say, was delayed a little bit. And so we ended up doing some Indian leg wrestling in the ring, which is something that the Roller Girls were known to do at their after parties. And so we kind of went through the procession of all the ladies there, and the net result was they got to me, being one of the bigger ones, and I took out everybody that was remaining, including all the reps that we had. And then we got into talking to the fans about who wanted to come up and challenge me, and I went through several of the fans, including some that were over 300 pounds in size, and you know, I flipped them all doing the Indian leg wrestling. And I think at that moment I kind of caught the bug for wrestling, being in the ring, because when the show was over, I got to talk to the promoter and said, hey, what does it take to start training and doing this thing called professional wrestling? And the rest was kind of history.
Getting into professional wrestling, did you have much of a background? Obviously, during the roller derby, but did you have any other backgrounds as far as having done competitive wrestling or any type of competitive fighting form, or maybe some sort of drama background that would have prepared you?
Nothing in the physical sports arena, for sure. About the only thing I had was a high school background of drama club. And it's one of those things where I've always enjoyed the sport. I've always watched things on TV, so I had a good nature about me as far as how things flowed, as far as psychology of matches and whatnot. So, you know, the rest was just pretty much, hey, you get exposed to hardcore training and getting conditioned beyond what I was doing in the roller derby. And then, you know, being schooled in what it means to be a professional wrestler.
Looking at the landscape when you started and looking at the landscape of the industry today, what do you think of the evolution of training to become a professional wrestler? Do you think that things are generally better now as far as training goes, worse, or do you think it is about the same level and it's just evolved into what wrestling is now as opposed to when you were starting?
Well, Ashi, that's a really good question. The one thing I would say is, from in looking at my career and everybody I've been exposed to through training, I would say it's not where it used to be. I mean, there are pockets of very, very good trainers that have great legacy through the industry. And anybody that wants to get into professional wrestling has got to find those individuals, those promotions that will train you. But that being said, there's more and more folks out there over the years that come in from, oh, we saw this on TV, we were doing this in our backyard, we were doing this in our pools, whatever. And so the quality, per se, I don't think it's where it used to be. And, you know, all that's the fallout of the territories breaking down and having those well-known pockets of trainers that would bring you in and teach you the ropes the correct way. And, you know, that may be old school, but in my opinion, I think it's probably the best way to get trained up over the years.
Looking at today's landscape, if someone were to come to you wanting advice on how to get into professional wrestling, where are some of the places you would send them to get started in their career?
Number one, I would send them where I got trained up, with Ringworks Carolina, and then the other person I would point somebody to is Susan Tex Green. who just got enrolled into the Hall of Fame. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? Beyond that, there's a new organization headed by Simbodi and Jake the Snake and a few others down out of the Vegas area. CeeLo Brown, for example, is down there teaching kids. That's another great one. And then if you hit some of the organizations that are associated with major promotions, if you're so lucky to talk to somebody over there and is willing to train you, you know, from Shimmer all the way through Ring of Honor, TNA, or even if you're, you know, down in Florida and know the WWE Training Center folks, get over there because you know you're going to have some good, solid legacy around to start from. And then the other thing I would say is after you get a good baseline, don't be afraid to go out and learn from others. You know, that's part of the beauty of this business is all these folks that have come before you or even that are current have experience from different perspectives. And so I would say go out and learn from different individuals so you could become more rounded in what it means to be a professional wrestler.
I know that on shows that you're on, there's a lot of young talent out there. A lot of great young talent is in the business, and they have less than 5 years' experience. Who are some of the people that are getting started really in this business that you think promoters should utilize more often?
Well, you know, I would say those that have at least 5 years experience and that are known to go out and be successful and are, what would I say here, are very committed to the sport and are guaranteed by the promoter to be there, you know, stable and just basically committed to not blowing off an event. You know, there's names out there. I'm not going to drop anybody's name in particular, but it's that kind of an individual that is willing to go and travel and learn and be part of another organization that I think is just paramount. And in different areas of the country, you know, there's different folks. You know, I'm over here on the West Coast now, or at least the western half of the U.S., and I've lost touch with those back on the East Coast, per se. So it's just one of those things that the folks, the promoters ought to talk to the other promoters and find out what's going on. And then, you know, if your buddy is with a group of excellent wrestlers, you know, promoters and the wrestlers themselves should just get into that line of communication to open up the bridges and get folks in. It's hard to say, you know, here's one person versus another, and here I would recommend somebody. I think the biggest thing is just to find that individual that's willing to listen and be professional and not come in and, hey, I was at the bar last night drinking or whatever, but is actually there to put on a show and fill seats and make sure that everybody is safe in the ring so they can go home to their family.
Well said. Now, one of the things that independent companies have done over the last year or two to try to get some exposure and get their product to the masses is the Independent Wrestling Channel on Roku. There are dozens of promotions on there. You can find dozens of individual wrestlers who have put matches up on there. I'm not sure if a lot of the fans or even a lot of the promoters at large are knowledgeable at this point. It's still relatively new. Do you have an opinion on using the Indie Wrestling Channel on Roku as a promotional tool?
Well, I'm personally not familiar with it, but I would say in general, it would be a good thing. the more you can take your product and expose it to potential customers, whether they're your local environment or further out in the world, all the better. I mean, people have followings. Like, I haven't been to Japan, but I know there's people over there that follow me, and that's because I made use of the internet. You know, my thing was, hey, it's the YouTube channel. But if you can get to a particular website, like we're talking here, put in your URL and you get to find all these, you know, talented individuals, you will find based upon popularity of clicks who your talented stars are. They will come up. You also find your talented promotions coming in and taking a look at that and moving forward to booking those individuals. And all I can say is that is good for business. You know, it's all about advertising. It's that advertising, and if it's free out there, people hook on to you, you know, great as a promotion. People know about you. Maybe after you get enough people following you, you can go to pay-per-view kind of events. Now you're going to increase your dollars coming into your particular promotion and then be able to go and book better and better talent, thus climbing the ladder as far as, you know, what you're able to do as a company. All that is great stuff.
Another way that pro wrestlers try to promote themselves and get their names out there, as well as make a lot of money when competing on shows where they aren't necessarily going to make a lot for the actual match, is merchandise. I'm sure that you've seen a lot of merchandise tables over the years. What's been some of the merchandise that you've brought to the masses to try to get your name out there and let people take a little bit of Andrea the Giant home with them?
Well, you know, it's the basic staples. You got your photographs, your T-shirts, and I even went to hoodies. You know, I would say out of everything, the photographs are the biggest seller, hands down. Other things that I have seen, stuff, little trinkets that can be associated, and especially with kids. If kids can get in and buy something for a buck or two, you're going to get a lot of little sales versus a $5, $10 item. So those little trinkets, you know, whether it be stickers, candy, whatever that has your branding on it, that stuff is great. And actually, I would think I even myself personally need to take advantage of that more often. But it's one of those things, the more people purchase things from you, the longer that image and association is going to be with them in their head, because whenever they see this object, it's going to play back in their mind of that particular memory, and then you're going to be ingrained in their head. So all that's, you know, that's the entire idea behind promotion. So, the merch table, I should say. So, yeah, that's kind of my viewpoint on it.
You've been to a lot of areas of the country to wrestle, East Coast, West Coast, the Rocky Mountain area. So obviously you've been to a wide range of venues. Everybody that's in the business knows that venues have a very wide range, from something that terrifies guys to accept a booking to wrestle in, up to extremely nice venues that people love to go to work. What's been your favorite venues over the years and shows that you get to go compete on?
Gene, there's a couple. You know, the smaller stadiums that you can get into, stuff like at fairgrounds and whatnot, those are great. They give you the big, big room experience, but it's still rather cozy, and fans are close enough to get a good view of you and watch the action. The other thing I do like are big festival events, namely because you've got a good crowd around you at all times. for example, I was up at a Comic-Con event here in Salt Lake City. Great. We had, you know, several thousand people around, great exposure for the promotion and the individual wrestlers. On top of that, we combined ourselves with that experience, and it was much more enriching for the fans around us just because, hey, you know, this is something you don't normally experience, but we're also part of this experience called Comic-Con. And then there's those select venues that are small, quaint, you know, hold about 300-400 people, but every show is packed to the hill, and the atmosphere, you can just tell, you walk in and there's something special about it. And they're usually, from what I've seen, a little darker, as far as the arena goes, and the ring itself is well lit and throwing focus on the wrestling ring versus places that have, you know, the lights are everywhere. You know, it, it kind of makes it more of the theater show experience per se. Yeah, so that's kind of what I see. You know, what I try to keep away from are those promotions that kind of get in and don't really promote. They count on their wrestlers to word of mouth fill the seats, and you know, if the wrestlers are out there coming in from different areas, they don't necessarily have time to promote the show, and the net result is you get a show that is just not where it should be, and you kind of feel sorry for the fans because you know you've been around, you saw better, and that's, I guess, one of the other things I've seen over the years, too, is, you know, the shows that are successful, the promoters promote. The ones that aren't successful, the promoters don't promote. And thus, I think that's, people forget. That's where the term promoter comes from. So, anyway.
One of the things that we have found up here in our neck of the woods in the Pacific Northwest is there's a bit of a trend going on where a lot of the wrestlers are taking to a post-match antioxidant tea. I've seen a lot of tea being drank in the locker rooms up here. Have you caught on to this phenomenon and done a few post-match antioxidant teas?
No, I can't say that I have, but at the same time, anything that's antioxidant, I think, is probably good for you as long as you don't OD on this stuff. Personally, I'm one of those folks that have a good regimen as far as diet, and with that, I have a good selection of supplements that I take that have kept me in shape over the years and have protected my body quite well, I believe. And so, you know, if folks are doing something like that, great. What I really hate in some of these wrestlers that I see, and this is, I think, the difference between professional and not, are the folks that come in and they're hammered or under the influence in some way, and it's like, hey, I really don't want a part of that, you know. So if you're going to come in and drink green tea, all the better as far as I'm concerned.
Kind of a growing phenomenon up here. Now, obviously, one of the things you have done throughout your career has been winning championships. I know you've held several championships throughout many different promotions. What are some of the titles that you've held in your career?
Well, I've had the heavyweight champion over at Ring Wars Carolina for a bit. AIW Southwest Ladies Champion, and then a handful of smaller promotion championships. I forget the entire list. I have it written down somewhere, but it's just one of those things, you know. It's nice to get those belts and have the opportunity. Because some folks just pass through, and what I try to do is, you know, join up with different federations and then work with them and then trust you, you get in line for a belt or two. And, you know, that's great. It shows this promotion has a lot of respect for what you do and the trust to fill the seats. So all good stuff.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that QT has some questions also, so let's help you as I pass things along to him.
Sounds great.
Well, thank you, Sungai. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. Andrea, I saw your YouTube video entitled Andrea the Giant versus Jake Steele, Portland, Oregon, 5/6/2012.
And this was, I remember that.
Oh, well, this was your second match against him at the Portland Cinco de Mayo Festival. And
yes,
the match was played outside underneath a freeway overpass and next to a Ferris wheel.
Yes.
I was going to ask if you remembered this waterfront Cinco de Mayo match, but you do. Yes.
Oh, absolutely do. It was a great day up there, and I mentioned earlier the festivals are a fun place to go and wrestle, because when you have all these folks around you from various different things, and you know they're tired of standing in line and not doing anything other than sweating, and then they have you know thousands of folks around, all of a sudden you catch their attention, and all this stuff happens, and they're oohing and aahing and watching a guy get his butt kicked by a big gal, good times as far as I'm concerned. So, that was a great weekend event up there. Hopefully I'll get back up there and do it again.
That was held on January, March, May 6th, and Mays can still be kind of chilly in the Northwest, especially early May, like it was this year with a lot of rain. But the weather seemed pretty good, at least in the video, from that video standpoint. Do you remember how the weather was in these two matches against Jake Steele?
Yeah, it was fairly decent that day. If I had a guess, the temperature's upper 60s, maybe 70s. You know, I know later in the day there was a sprinkle that came through, but yeah, it was a great day. You know, perfect weather for wrestling as far as I was concerned. And it was, you know, it was a carnival-like atmosphere, but at least it wasn't that in the ring. It was pretty serious.
Yes, it was. And I took an in-depth analysis of that match. Yes. Well, Andrea, that was at the Portland Cinco de Mayo Festival. Now, Portland also holds what's called every year the Rose Festival with pretty big parades in downtown Portland. Plus, the waterfront on the Columbia River is host to a lot of naval ships. Destroyers and cruisers will dock. And there was even back in the 80s, the battleship New Jersey paid a visit to the Portland Rose Festival.
Wow, nice. Very nice.
Now, are you familiar with the new destroyer that the Navy has launched called the USS Zumwalt destroyer?
No, I am not.
This destroyer is over 600 feet in length, and ironically enough, it is the first of its kind. It has radar evading capabilities because of the angle of its hull. It has immense propulsion. And the captain is, ironically enough, James T. Kirk. Yes, it's true.
Awesome. I want to know what the ship number is on that thing. Is it 1701-something?
Well, we at Turnbuckle Turmoil are giving you the homework assignment to do a Google search on the USS Zumwalt, the newest naval destroyer that has been launched.
Cool. I can go do that. I'm vaguely familiar with the stealth destroyers, but I'm not up on that particular one.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, I wish you had wrestled at the Rose Festival Maybe in the future, the USS Zumwalt will pay a visit to the Rose City. I'd like you to see this destroyer. Yes.
Oh, that'd be great. Actually, I would love to get up there for one of the festivals and do something. If one of the promotions up there could put something together and give me an invite, I'd love to come up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Andrea, Interstate 5 leading into Seattle and some of the other bridges in the Seattle Center have quite a few number of blue tents underneath them with the homeless taking refuge. In your Cinco de Mayo Waterfront Festival video, I saw no blue tents, but there could have been because of the crowd size. My question is, was it your plan to emerge from one of these tents before your name was announced by the ring announcer in non-wrestling gear over your wrestling gear to make it appear you were homeless, but when you were really doing reconnaissance so you could throw Jake Steele off his pre-bell game plan?
Well, no, actually, there were no tents around at that point except for the one we were using as a locker room, and even then that wasn't big enough for us. So I almost felt homeless just as far as the locker room went. It was one of those things, is once I get into gear, I kind of stay in gear, and since I was doing multiple shows that day, once I had my stuff on, I was keeping it on. It just takes too much to peel everything off and then put it back on once again.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Andrea, both Sign Guy and I are frequent guests of Blue Collar Wrestling, and indeed, Sign Guy is a referee at Blue Collar Wrestling, and I myself have to go to Blue Collar Wrestling, not have to, I want to take notes so I can report the action on our Turnbuckle Turmoil show. And I frequently try to approach the dressing rooms and evade security and hand through the door a fruit pie for our number one Turnbuckle Turmoil ranked wrestler. So I have peered into the wrestling rooms at Blue Collar Wrestling at the North Portland Eagles, and I saw you in action at the North Portland Eagles. How would you rate their locker rooms and security?
The locker room there is pretty much like the locker room you're going to find at any one of the indie shows. It's any old available room that is, you know, whatever's in it is in it. So you make do. It's not like going to a regular stadium where they have a dedicated locker room. So, and as far as security goes, that's just up on the individual promotion and what they're going to do and when they let fans in and versus folks that are known to the promotion. So, you know, I typically don't see, you know, an armed police officer standing at the entrance to the, what would be the locker room for the guys and gals. So I would say it's generally is what it is. And if there is ever an issue with somebody coming in the back, they're probably coming into the wrong spot to cause an issue with all the talent back there. So, we'll, if need be, we'll provide our own security.
Wow.
Well,
okay,
we have a caller from the 808 area code. Do we have someone with a question for Andrea? No question from the caller. Oh,
hello,
there we
hello.
Go.
Hey, I'm Helga Hogan. I will defeat you. Ho, 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 ho. Oh, I have hair balls and tips. Oh, ho, ho.
Okay.
Edga, the giant bitch. The giant hemorrhoid.
Yeah.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. I'm transitioning.
All right, Andre. It looks like you got a challenger there.
Yeah. I usually get challengers. They usually don't last too long.
Wow.
All right. Head ahead, QT.
All right. Well, Andrea, at the 6 minute and 8 second mark of the Cinco de Mayo match in Portland, and also 10 seconds later, at around the 6 minute 18 second mark, you gave Jake two knife edge chops that could be heard above the people's screams and yells that were riding the Ferris wheel. My question is, had Jake chosen to give you a knife-edge chop, would his chops, in your opinion, been heard above the cacophony of the overhead bridge traffic and the Ferris wheel itself?
I really don't think so. I mean, I think he might, you know, outdo the crickets that were in the lawn in the evening, but, you know, he's got other talent. I mean, he's quick. He'll get you in the corner when you're least expected and grab onto your neck and slam you to the mat. I know he did that in my match and surprised the heck out of me. So, and just because folks can't chop as hard as I can chop, you know, they got other things in their repertoire that they can come at me with.
Well, I got to give him his prop. Jake was pretty... he had reserve strength. You wouldn't really notice that by looking at him. He was more like Gregory Helms, the Hurricane. Yes.
Yeah. He it's been a while since I've seen him, but he was definitely hopping around in there when you least expected he would kind of go all Energizer Bunny on you.
But you got to admit that even Gregory Helms, the Hurricane, one of my favorite wrestlers, more than held his own against The Rock.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I've watched his matches for a long time, and yeah, awesome wrestler. I enjoyed his work.
Yes. Okay. Well, Andrea, I also saw your YouTube video entitled "Wedding of Andrea the Giant and Miss Cat." Now, I saw a maid of honor for Miss Cat, but I didn't see a maid of honor for you. However, a fairly big-sized man in a deep red shirt was standing by you. Was he your intergender man of honor?
I guess you could say that. He was actually the promoter there, and if I was going to have a wedding in the ring, he was definitely going to be part of it. Because one, he was a good pal, and number two, I want to be able to come back for more matches.
Oh, okay, he was the promoter. Can you remember his name?
Oh, God, now you're going to hit me on that. I just can't pull it out of my head right now. I'm sorry. I haven't been over there, and I haven't seen him in a couple of years since he closed down his promotion.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, Andrea, someone else in a red shirt came out and objected to the wedding when the priest asked if there was anyone who wanted to speak now if they thought the wedding was wrong. This rarely happens at weddings. Do you recall who this wrestler was that came out and objected to you marrying Miss Cat? And also, he said that you were marrying the wrong person after he grabbed the microphone and then Miss Cat slapped him.
Yeah, that would have been Tearbane Jack. He kind of screwed that wedding up and kind of made it a little bit more than it was supposed to be. But that being said, at the end of the day, when we hit the table, and, let's just say it that it was icing on the cake, so to speak.
Well, yes. Now, Andrea, at the 5:53 mark, a piece of wedding cake was used to hit one of the wrestlers who objected to the wedding. Well, Andrea, just recently at PWF Wrestling in Port Orchard, Washington, Aiden Reyes was hit by a cake that was not a wedding cake, but rather it was there for any fan that had a sweet tooth and did not want a pulled pork sandwich or onion rings or cheeseburger at the regular concession stand. Aiden Reyes lost the decision but ended up eating a small sliver of cake off his chest and a slightly larger piece off the mat, much to the disgust of the PWF fans. My question is, who paid for the cake, you or Miss Cat?
The cake at our wedding was purchased by me because it was going to be shared with all my fans that were in the crowd. Unfortunately, it never really made it out to the fans. It kind of made it into both the Tear Bean Jack and myself ended up wearing it as a suit.
Have you ever seen a wrestler take a plastic fork and eat a sliver of wedding cake off his chest? That's what I'm getting at.
After the match, I was definitely taking care of the frosting that was all over me. So, yeah, I don't think I used a fork. I just used a finger. But I figure even if it's on the floor, you got the 30-second rule, right? And if you're hungry, hey, why not?
Wow. I guess Bob Hardy is actions are justified. Okay, very good. Did you meet Miss Cat on the online dating site plentyoffish.com?
POF? No, we actually, I met Cat back in, when I was wrestling over there in Fresno. Her sister was one of the referees at the promotion and kind of introduced us and things kind of went from there.
Oh, now how would you rate her sister as a referee? One of the betteries that you have been in the ring with?
Well, every time I stared at her, she was afraid to count. So, if you look at it from a standpoint of me always being able to get out of a bad situation, she was a great referee. But if you're on the other side and you want somebody to count me out or whatever, disqualify me, she's not the best referee. It's all a matter of viewpoint.
Wow, okay, all right. Andrea, are there any truth to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you are planning to form a progressive rock band with Miss Cat and retired drummer from Rush, Neil Peart, called Card Subject to Change?
Well, actually, no. There's no planned event along those lines because, unfortunately, last year we ended up divorcing. So if it happens, it's going to be a different Miss Cat.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Andrea, are there any truth to the rumors that you went to Portugal for your honeymoon?
No, there was no truth to those rumors at all. Actually, it was a much more exotic place. It was just outside of Fresno.
Oh, Fresno. Okay. All right. Well, Andrea, Henny Youngman was known as the king of the one-liners. He said, "When I read about the evils of drinking, I gave up reading." Do you think Henny Youngman would have been a good ring announcer?
Oh, hell yes. He would be awesome to have around the ring. I loved his... What he did. It was awesome.
Do you agree with the saying, a drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts?
Yeah, for the most part, especially once you go past a certain threshold, I would say yes.
Especially with men, yes. Okay.
I don't think it matters what the gender is there. I think if you have enough to drink, you're going to say shit you shouldn't say.
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, Andrea, I have seen some of the local roller derby matches with a team from Olympia, Washington, called the Ole Rollers. What was your position on your roller derby team?
On the two teams that I played on, I was blocker. I was one of the bigger girls back then, and I hate to be out there now doing it because I am like way bigger in size and in density than I was back then. But yeah, blocker, it was good. It was like, for me, it was like playing pool. You get your cue up, who you want to hit, and then you try to do it smart such that you can take that person off the other person, off the other person, and, you know, basically knock them all down. You know, trifecta or over was just totally awesome in my opinion.
Okay, now can you name a couple of the other positions for our wrestling fans out there that aren't familiar with any other position other than the blocker? Can you name a couple other positions?
Yeah, you have your scorer that's got to be your lead jammer. They're the ones that are out in front. Well, they start in back and work their way through the pack to the front where the first one out becomes your lead jammer. And then they're the point scorers. And then you got a pivot person. A pivot person is kind of like an alternate for the jammer. If the jammer gets into trouble, they can hand off their helmet panty to the pivot person, and they'll go off and assume the position of jammer.
Wow, all right, okay, okay. Can you tell us what some of the team names that you were on, what some of the team names?
Yeah, it was the Carolina Roller Girls and the Rogue Roller Girls.
Oh, okay, all right. What do you think about the name, the Oly Rollers?
I think it's totally awesome.
Yes, you'll have to go on their Facebook page and look them up. Yes.
I will.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Andrea, on March 25th of this year, you had a match with a wrestler named Sage Sin Supreme at the Redwood Rumble. This was billed as a blood. How did it go?
Well, you know, it was going fine for a while. That's all I can say. And, you know, she must have knew that I liked being married and versus being single, because at a certain point out came the chains and soon followed by a trash can to my head, followed by the chains around my neck choking me out. I would say from that vantage point, it was not too good. You know, kind of left me with some bruises on the skull. But I came back later in the evening and got my revenge.
Wow. All right. Okay. Ooh, boy. Well, Andrea, can you recall the first time a fan came up to you and asked for your autograph pre-wrestling when you were in roller derby? Was it from a little girl maybe in grade school?
Yeah. I definitely remember it. Yeah, it was a little girl, blonde over in the Raleigh area. And, it was just cool, you know. It's like, oh, okay, you want my autograph? Great. What did you think? Why are you asking for it? And I kind of got into that general conversation, and it was just like, hey, you're cool, I like what you do, kind of a thing. So, yeah, I remember.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Andrea, we recently saw Casey Carlisle, who is from the Hampton Roads area of Virginia. Well, maybe it's Portsmouth and Hampton Roads. Out here wrestling at Blue Collar and PWF. She was fueled by 17 cups of coffee over a 3-day period. Can you take us through your coffee consumption after you fly a minimum of 1,400 miles?
Oh, that's really easy for me. It is zero. I don't do coffee whatsoever.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Okay. Well, zero. Not even a decaf coffee?
No. You know, back in the day, I would say I used to do soda as a substitute because it had the caffeine in it. But even now, I really don't even do sodas except if I'm on like a 18, 20-hour drive and I got to keep myself awake just a wee little bit.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, Andrea, what's the highest you have ever been ranked in Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. I used to know, but I think that trash can hit this past couple of months, knocked it out of there. I think I was in the 400s area somewhere. And that was really early on. And to be honest, I don't have personally much faith in that. It's kind of, if you submit yourself in, you'll get listed. Else they really don't know who the heck you are, other than if you're on TV. So after the first couple of years, if I was listed, I didn't pay attention.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Andrea, if Rikishi Fatu or Scotty Kuhadi ever challenged you to a dance contest, would you accept?
Oh, yeah, hands down. Rikishi, I'd love to be in the ring with him. I have to work over with his promotion over in Southern California, just outside of Hollywood, and had a blast over there. And I would just do it because it would be freaking comical. I mean, for one, I can't really dance worth crap, and I know he would outdo me, and at a certain point, it would just break down into something hilarious.
Oh, wow. I didn't know Rikishi lived near the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, he's down there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, would you ever want to go on Dancing with the Stars with Rikishi?
Oh, she was. Yes, I guess if I get enough training, why not?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Andrea, it's been good talking with you, and I hope you do your homework assignment of looking up the USS Zumwalt that is now being captained by a Naval Academy graduate, James T. Kirk. Yes. Good luck with your assignment. Yes.
All right. I want to see if Nurse Spock on board, too, just to be honest.
It is my fervent hope that we could dress Sign Guy up as Spock and get him on the ship. Yes, but I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know. Okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Andrea, another thing that you have had a lot of in your career is managers. I know you've had few depending on the area, and of course I once managed you for a night in Paulsboro, Washington, as I recall. But looking back at your career, do you think that yourself personally benefits from having a manager?
Oh, gee, for all the matches that I've had managers, I would say the managers have been the biggest distraction and have caused me more grief than they're worth. I got to stick to that. I think I'm far better off going on my own, other than, you know, they kind of want to hang out with me and hope to date me afterwards or something along those lines. So, you know, maybe I'll get a few drinks after a show out of it, but, you know, I'll be okay on my own.
Another aspect of the business that QT referenced earlier you're familiar with is refereeing. You've had a lot of different referees in your career, and on the independent circuit, the quality varies very dramatically. In your matches, where do you see the art of refereeing at this point in time as a whole?
Oh, good question. I personally think if you're lucky enough to work with a great referee, your match is all the better for it. I've been in the ring and had refs kind of get in the way, and I had it, you know, physically remove them out of the way so I can continue my match. I really don't need that. You know, there's, if you look at a singles match, there's really three people out there that make that event, and that's the two wrestlers and the ref. So from a standpoint of what goes on, you know, they're key. And then, of course, you know, who wins or loses, they're definitely the man or the woman that you want to pay attention to. So, it's one of those things, you know, if I can find a ref that has actually been a wrestler over the years and is maybe retired or whatever, you know, you're just going to have a better match. They know what's going on. Experience is important, and it really adds to the overall experience in quality of the match as far as the wrestlers in the ring are concerned, as well as the fans.
Well, we're down to just a few minutes left in the show today, so I want to give you the time if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, anything at all you want to plug and promote, merchandise, upcoming appearances, social medias, your favorite bakery, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Oh, my goodness. I watch my calories, so I don't have a bakery I want to give a shout-out to. You know, right now, if folks are interested in seeing me, I have most of my matches up over in YouTube. The YouTube channel is Numeric One Andrea the Giant. Again, it's Numeric One Andrea the Giant. And you'll see stuff from my early career all the way through current stuff there, as well as some matches of some others that were just fun and notable over the years. And then if you want to follow me, you can find me on Facebook over at One Andrea the Giant. And then if you poke around, you'll find my personal page, and you can book me over there as well. As far as promotions go, look for me over at Freak Show Wrestling. You can find out more about Freak Show Wrestling over on Facebook at Freak Show Wrestling, or you can look and Google them and find them there as well. Good cast of and crew of professional wrestlers over there. Definitely an adult-oriented show. And then beyond that, War Wrestling. I'll be up there throughout the course of the year as events unfold. But if anybody's out there and can use a big gal to wrestle at their venue, you know, contact me through Facebook, or you can contact me at oneandreathegiant@gmail.com, and I'd be glad to come out and work for you. It's one of the things right now I've been focused on fixing up my home, and I haven't been out really wrestling like I used to over the last quarter, but now that my work on the house is done, I got to get myself back out there and do some more shows. And then as far as merch goes, I got stuff at the shows. It's one of those things, and see me, I used to have a site where I promote stuff out and people can go purchase it, but it's one of those things, it wasn't worth the effort and the funding to go do it. So.
Well, Andrea, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. Always a pleasure. Hopefully our paths will cross again sometime in the near future. Always a pleasure to be on a show with you. And best of luck as you continue forward with your career.
Thank you very much. I hopefully we'll run into each other again soon, and I can get back up there and do a show or two up in that area.
Fans, if you've not gotten the chance to see Andrea the Giant live in person, you should remedy that. Buy a ticket if she's at a show anywhere near you. Fantastic performer. Great, great wrestler. I think you'll very much enjoy her work. Get out there. Support your local independent pro wrestling. Tons and tons and tons of shows happening in the next few days. And also, would like to point out, if you're in the Indiana area on Sunday, there is a very special show happening at the Outlaw Arena. It is a graduation show for Sean Kemp. He recently graduated high school, and they are putting on a special show just to celebrate that battle royal for everyone that's on the show to participate. Lots of singles matches. The Young Dragons are going to be there. Sean Kemp, Indiana Kid the Third, lots of great talent on there. Get out there, support that. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Joe Rules will be with us. Joe Rules of PWI 500 fame. So it should be a great time on Sunday. We'll talk to you then.
Dancing all down up. This weekend. tonight. Turn up as much as we can. Let go and hit the floor and dance.